his life is like a flower. Soon its beauty fades away, and like a tiny vapor, I am here for just a day. I'll be planted in some graveyard, but thank God that's not the end. When Jesus comes that morning, my life will just begin. Oh, a flight without an airplane, transportation on silver wings, carried home by the Savior, that's enough to make me sing. When Jesus comes at morning, like a bird I'll be gone. Oh, what a wonderful way to go home. My things are now in order, preparations have all been made. I got my ticket at the altar that day I knelt to pray. Now I am just waiting for the captain to come by, and he'll say, let's go, children, and my soul will take a flight. Oh, a flight without an airplane, transportation on silver wings, carried home by the Savior, that's enough to make me sing. When Jesus comes at morning, like a bird I'll be gone. Oh, what a wonderful day to go home. Oh, what a wonderful day when all God's children gather home.
Certainly appreciate the singing, sir. I hadn't thought of that song that we just sung in a long, long time. But I tell you what, the words have has stroked somebody's heart one day to pin that down, because it real meaning something to me. It's a wonderful thought. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if you brought your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want to read a passage of Scripture that it's kind of easy for us that has been in church for a while, kind of very difficult to understand if you've not been in church. We know that there's a thing that's going to change one day. This world cannot continue as we know it now. Back years ago, if you would ask different preachers at that time, how long do you think before the Lord's going to come back? Preachers of that yesterday would have said, well, he's going to come back before my life is over. A lot of those preachers have done gone. If you was to ask me, I think he's going to come back before my life is over. Now, I may be in the ground one day, but I got news for you. The Lord's going to come back. Amen. He's going to come back whether you're prepared or not. There's not a thing in this world you can do to delay one second, not one thing. But what you can do is prepare. If you don't prepare for the Lord to come back, he's not going to say, well, let me wait one more second just for you. Mm-mm. Because when that call comes, you're going to go. I want to read just two verses of Scripture, 15th chapter, verse number 51. Writer here is telling us, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. May we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words. God, I ask you today, God, that you prepare all of our hearts. God, I need encouragement that only you can provide. And I need food that only you can give. And God, there's many here today that, God, need more than that. God, there's some, God, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that, God, they need you in their heart. But, God, we realize that, God, all things work together for good. Sometimes we leave out the part for those that belong to the Lord. But I pray, God, that you'll help us in our life. God, help others to see that they need a change in their heart. Lead us now and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, it's a very unusual thought to even talk about a mystery. Now, many people read books that are mysteries. And you know, I have been known years and years ago to read one, I think, as in school, all right? So I don't read many mysteries. But a mystery was kind of like, oh, I'll watch a good mystery movie, you know, make you be, oh, I know who did it. That's not the mystery I'm talking about today. In fact, the scripture here talks about something that's very strange, unusual, a change. A change. What does it mean? I'm going to show you a mystery. One day there's going to be a huge change that's going to happen. And I'm not really going to get into all the details, but I just want to share just a moment before we go to a different passage. I want us to understand that the mind of God has to get our mind thinking differently. Because really, you know, as you're a young person growing up, you think, well, I've got my whole life ahead of me. And then when something happens and someone dies at an early age, you think, well, that's just a one-off. That won't happen to me. Sometimes when young people have accidents or car wrecks or something of that nature, you never know the circumstance. But when it happens, we think, well, that was a tragedy. My Bible tells me that everything that happens in this world, we have opportunities. We have an opportunity to do good. We have an opportunity to do bad. There's not in us a will and a want to be good. There's not in us. We're corrupt. We have evil thoughts. We have bad thoughts. We don't think good. The only thing that is good within us is the Lord. And He's not going to make His abode or abide with you unless you abide with Him. In fact, when I was lost, there was nothing in me good at all. I'd hear the Word of God. I'd go to church occasionally, but I'd hear the Word of God, but boy, would I like to ignore it, because most of the things that I ever heard in church put a little bit of fear, a little bit of concern. I didn't want to die, and I didn't want to hear about death. I wanted to push that off. As I've got older, death can come a whole lot quicker just by the sake of time. But in reality, it's the same message that I was for me when I was a youngster as I'm now as an older person. This Bible says I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm going to reveal something to you that you've never heard before. One day there's going to be a change. One day, if you're alive, now listen, this is only for folks that say, Lost people are not going to get this same kind of change that we're talking about today. In fact, we believe that the Lord one day will come and capture and get His church and call them away. That we call it the rapture, but that calling away, that pulling away, that's going to happen and pull away all of God's children at one time, in a moment, in a twinkling. It'll happen just that quick. But what's going to make it possible? You remember there was a kid show when I was little called Casper the Ghost. Oh, Casper was a good old ghost, man. He never spooked anybody. He just, I mean, it was a good one. He He always had, but he always kept getting in trouble. Now, old Casper, he'd be a good cartoon, but that ain't what I'm talking about. We're not going to be ghosts. We're not going to fly around like Casper doing good deeds. No, in fact, the Bible tells us in the future, in the years and eternity, we're going to be known as we're known. In fact, I'll know you and you'll know me if you're saved. If you're saved. If you go to heaven, it's going to be a wonderful time. If you go to hell, not so good. If you go to hell, there's not going to be friends and fellowship and fun and all the wonderful things that you think that hell is going to be. No, it's not going to happen. But why are we revealed all of a sudden? I want to show you a mystery. We're going to all be changed. A moment, a twinkling of an eye. I want us to go over to another passage of Scripture. And I want to describe to you something that probably you've heard, but I want you to listen with me. I want to read out of the book of Mark, chapter number 9. You don't have to turn. You can just listen if you want to. Here's what Jesus had to say to his disciples. And here's what he said in Mark, chapter number 9. I'm going to read verse 1. He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that there'll be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death. That's kind of what we was talking about. They're not going to taste of death. They're not going to die. They're going to be changed. Well, listen to what happened. We shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. But here's how he describes it. And here's what he's fixing to say that kind of relates that man can understand. Just a little bit, all right? After 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John, three of his disciples, and leadeth them up to a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Now, I don't know about you, but transfigured is not a term that we talk about. We don't say, well, boy, I was transfigured today. Man, I'd have to look it up in the dictionary. If I say, well, I was transfigured in my lifestyle, I know that's a change. But we'll never understand what he was really saying when we just read the word. When we read the word. In fact, like I read in Corinthians, if I say, I'm going to show you a mystery, and that mystery one day will all be changed. It's reading words. It's reading words. But there's more to this Bible than words on a page. There's more to this Bible than just hearing the words and saying, I believe the word. In fact, the way that I got saved, I heard the preaching of the gospel. I heard it many, many times. But when those words became real, when those words had life in them, when those words became real and touched my heart, I realized I was a sinner. I realized the only way I could ever get that condemnation removed is to come to Jesus, Him forgive me of my sins. It wasn't just words. It wasn't just a Bible reading. It wasn't just preaching. It was something become real in my heart. On this day, He takes three disciples and they go up to an exceeding mountain, a mountain, and he was transfigured. He was changed. He made a change. Now I want to tell you, what we're going to read sounds like a fairy tale. That's impossible. But what I'm going to tell you happened, and it's real. In fact, there's going to be another change down the road somewhere. It could happen today. Listen, he took them and transfigured before them, verse 3, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white, as snow, as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Here's the picture now. When Jesus was transformed. Now this is going to just kind of sound a little bit crazy, but think with me just a moment. What does that mean? All of a sudden there was a bright light. brighter than any kind of white that we can describe, any kind of light that we can describe. In fact, let me put it this way. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, that light that we just read about, that light was brighter than the noonday sun, and that light that was bright shined upon Saul on the road to Damascus. Now, my friend, I want you to know something. When God's light shines on you, you get an opportunity to do good or ignore it. Saul cried out to God and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" But sometimes the light that comes from heaven, friend, when it comes down to you, you get a choice, and you can reject it and turn away from God. You can say, "Nope. No part of it." You know what will happen? That light will go another direction. But on this case, on this example, if anybody could give a testimony about how bright that light was, Paul could do that. He could tell you. In fact, in the book of Acts, he describes the story again, and he tells the story how it happened. And whenever he describes that light, you know what it rung a bell in? Inside of him, he knew what it was like to have the light of God shine in your heart. And you know, I feel that. Whenever I got saved, living for the Lord, there's this outside's terrible, but friend, inside, the light of God lights up. There's something in me that's brighter than the noonday sun. And that is not the goodness of man, not the good works that I could do, none of that. No, it's the love of the Lord that God puts in your heart when you get saved. Ain't you glad that God puts something in there that He never takes away? He just leaves it in there. Oh, how God can give you something that He'll never take away. And this light that happened on this transfiguration, all of a sudden, friend, you know why the Lord did this? He wanted to show folks. He wasn't bragging about himself. No, he was letting God shine out and letting the whole world see. Paul saw it. But Paul wasn't the only one. You remember there was a fellow called Moses that happened to be present here. Moses went up in the mountain of God. Got up there in that mountain. God kind of opened up that door. Revealed himself. Didn't let him see. No, because no man can look upon God and see. We'll read that in a minute. But when he got a little bit closer to God, God just kind of let Moses see the hinder part. And you know what really happened to Moses? When Moses come down off the mount, he didn't realize it. But a change had happened in Moses. He started to shine. Like I'd get out there in that sun and get old sunburned and get all red. No, not like that. I can get as red as a beet and I'll never be able to shine like God. But I got news for you. When you get close enough to God, there'll be a change. There'll be a change in you. "Oh, preacher, I can't change my ways." I agree with you. "I'm just an old drunk. I'm on drugs. I'm on all the sins of the world." I guarantee you, you can't change. But if you'll give it to God, He can change you. He can make an old drunk lay that old bottle down. He can make the foulest mouthed person you've ever seen have a new language. See, God can make a change even with you when that light shines in your heart. Now, friend, here's what happened. The light of the Lord began to in other words, Jesus had to kind of let that old flesh, kind of that old bodily flesh, get out of the way and let the Lord shine. And they met with Moses, and he met with Elias, or we call him Elijah, and he met with him. Now, what in this world could they have to talk over? I mean, that'd be a good conversation. What in the world was going on? What's happening here that the Lord takes these three disciples, goes up there to that mountain, he begins to shine, they begin to, man, This ain't my world. Oh, friend of mine, whenever you get a glimpse, if you could just get a, wouldn't you like to dream last night about heaven? I don't dream very, very often, okay? But wouldn't it be nice tonight to dream about heaven? Wouldn't it be nice to see a few of your loved ones that's done gone on? Oh, man, that'd make a good dream, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to hear that you're able to walk on streets of gold? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to go to the throne and see the one that sits upon that throne? That'd be a good dream. But you see, heaven's not about dreams. Heaven's about reality. One day, the conversation of Moses and Elias, they could talk about the law, and we could talk about the prophets, we could talk about all the good things that this Bible has to say. And Fred, I don't know what they talked about on that occasion, but all of a sudden, a cloud overshadowed them. Now, you can read it for yourself. A cloud overshadowed them. Now, if you got to understand, these three disciples are just, they're pinning down what God said that they could write, but not till he had done died, okay? But a cloud overshadowed them. And when that cloud overshadowed them, you know what happened? There was a voice come out of that cloud and had to say this. This one right here, he's talking about Jesus. This is my beloved son. Now, clouds don't talk, But the one that was in the cloud was able to talk, and that was God the Father. Now, listen to me. That ain't never happened before. Oh, yeah, it has. In fact, Jesus was in the Jordan River being baptized by John the Baptist. John said, you do this for me. Suffer it to be so now. Soon as he baptized Jesus, come forth out of that water, guess what? Guess what? There was a voice, that same voice that said on that day, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Why in the world would God spend the time to say that to Jesus? Why in the world, on this occasion, this transfiguration, why in the world did God take the time? Friend of mine, if God cannot take the time for Jesus, why would he take time for me and you? But God does. God looks my old sinful direction and sends that Holy Spirit to convict my heart. God sees my sinful ways, doesn't love none of them, but tells me, boy, you're headed the wrong direction. God knows how to take a sinful, good-for-nothing individual and put a change inside of her heart, and put a change, a new creature, old things pass away. God can do that for you because he did that for me. See, he overshadowed. Let me quickly. So Jesus, and I'm going to just kind of describe it this way. It's my interpretation, okay? So whenever this event took place and God spoke out of heaven, then Jesus comes to his disciples. Now here's the part that I got to get you to understand. The disciples didn't write anymore that light was bright. Here's why. You see, if we was to shine like Jesus shined, folks would say we're saved because of the light that's in and on and through and is produced by me. My light don't shine because of me. I'm not good enough. My light shines because of Jesus. I filter that light sometimes by my old ways coming out in this flesh. And God, sometimes I'm ashamed of how I live for God. But that light is still within once I've been saved. He tells his disciples, don't tell anybody about this till I have died. Don't tell anybody. Why? Boy, wouldn't that have been good to come down off that mountain and say, disciples, hey, buddies, if you'd have been where I'd have been, if you'd have saw what I saw, man, you'd be a changed Christian. Man, they were busting a gut, as I'd say. They were dying to tell it. But when the Lord says, don't tell it, you don't tell it. Why? God doesn't want you to have a changed life just because of a miracle that man describes. Now listen to me before you make judgment. Because I want to tell you, on 9/11, some of you are alive, some of you are around there, and some of you, if that didn't stir you up on 9/11, man, it almost gets you mad. You wanted to go fight somebody because, hell, they attacked our country. In World War II, you name any war, friend, whenever they start attacking us, we're ready to defend. I'm ready to get my gun. I'm too old, but I'll guarantee you I'll still be able to shoot to defend the country. Listen, when those disciples weren't allowed to tell the story, here's the thing. The death, burial, and the resurrection is the true story. Jesus said, hold it back right now. One day later, you'll tell it. Now listen. When Moses, I'm going back to him for a moment. When Moses come down off that mountain, he began to shine. You know what they had to do to that rascal? Put a basket over his head. And they put that basket over his head called, man, the glow, the shine. And people knew that Moses had been with God. A little bit later on, that glow or that shine began to wear off, as I'd call it. You can use your own terminology. But he kept that basket on his head. You know why he kept that basket? Because the people would know Moses had been with God. You know, I may have not have seen God, but I've been with God. I may have not heard God with my natural ears, but I've heard God in my heart. I've read from the pages just like those disciples were to pin it down and tell folk. I've heard from the precious word. I've heard those words and it would speak to my heart. And when Jesus said, don't tell it right now, you tell it hereafter. I was one of those God sent his word to. Just like you are. God has sent you a message. And this message that he sends you, he said, he starts it out. He said, I want to show you a mystery. I want to tell you something that might be kind of hard to understand. That one day, events are going to take place and there's going to be a change happening. And when that change happens, I'm going to leave behind this mortal body. And I'm going to pick up, not a body like Casper the Ghost, no sir. My body will be changed into a glorified body. One that actually can handle the light. And that light that comes from above will actually shine into our hearts and shine out just like it did with Jesus. The light of God will shine amongst all of God's children one day. White, whiter than any white you've ever seen. There's no comparison to the light that comes out from God like it will to me and you. Now listen. It's not shining today. Preacher, I don't see your light. I look at the person next to me. I don't see the light. You see, we're not to judge. I'm not to judge your how bright your light shines. And you're not to judge how bright my light shines. Because, friend, there's days that we just don't shine very well. But there are occasions when you get a glimpse of what God has been in your life, has done in your life, and has meant in your life. And all of a sudden, there just seems to be a glow brighter than it was a little bit before. And you want to bust out, but God holds you back right now. But I long for the day. I long for the day that I'll never, ever be dull on God anymore. I'll be so bright, and I can describe the light just like Paul did. It was brighter than the noonday sun. Wouldn't you like to have that? Let me hurry. When we go back now and read of this mystery, he said, we'll all be changed. Now, who was he talking to? Well, he's talking to God's folks, children of God. We'll all be changed. And I'd like to be able to say that means everybody on earth's going to go to heaven, but that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, it's only a select group. Only those that come to Jesus, only those that believe Jesus died for their sin, only those that accepts the blood of Jesus into their heart. In other words, if you're here under the sound of my voice and you have the Holy Spirit that will speak to you and say, listen, you've living in your sins, you're dying in your sins, and if you die lost, hell's your own. Friend, those are the ones that God speaks to and says, will you accept me? Revelation says it this way in the third chapter. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, that's the Holy Spirit. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Friend, God wants to come in your life. God wants to change you, and God will change you if you'll come and accept Him. But if not, only those that will be changed are the ones that are a believer. Let me say this. It's very far-fetched what I've said this morning about being changed. To the people of the world, they say, what kind of stuff is he talking about? But to the people of God, that mystery is not a mystery anymore. In fact, I can read it and I can see in the future, and I can read it and I can see more in the future, and I can read it that one day you won't put nothing in the ground when I die but my body. That's all you'll put. This little thing will turn and decay and just it'll just rot right before your eyes and turn back to dirt. But that lives within me will depart immediately. Friend, you're just going to bury the clay. You'll not bury me. You're here today and you're lost without God. The moment you die, we'll cry over you. But we're going to bury the clay. Your soul will either go to heaven or hell. Your soul will be there forever, heaven or hell. It's a mystery, but it's not really a mystery if you turn it over to God. You can be changed. Just like the Bible says, we'll all be changed. You can be changed today. You can go from hell to heaven in a split moment of time. Brother Greg, a song of invitation this morning. I can't describe to you any other way, any more clearer, the opportunity that salvation can change your life. There's nothing else that'll change your life. There's not a thing. There's not a do-good pill. There's not a self-help course that you can take. There's none of those things that'll alter your life. But Jesus
can change it. He can make you want to have a life worth living. If you're here today and lost, God wants to save you. It happened to me one day. It can happen to you today. May we stand to our feet and sing a verse of this song. If God's speaking to you, would you please come know Him in the free pardon of sin? Come today while you have the opportunity and be saved. Would you come?